Right now, we turn to Dan Rather's interview with Iraq's President Saddam Hussein. The interview aired last night on the CBS News program 60 Minutes 2. In this clip, Rather asks the Iraqi leader if he is willing to comply with Hans Blix's demand that Iraq destroy its al-Samud missiles.
I want to make sure that I understand, Mr. President. So you do not intend to destroy these missiles?
Yes, Iraq.
Which missiles are you talking about? We do not have missiles that go beyond the prescribed ranges by the UN.
The interview was conducted on Monday in one of Saddam Hussein's presidential palaces in Baghdad. The actual interview lasted 3 hours. Last night's program was an hour-long edited version. There were conditions that CBS had to agree to. The Iraqis provided the cameras and the translators. CBS had to wait more than a day and a half while the Iraqis edited three tapes into one. CBS News says its own translators checked the tape thoroughly, and the network is confident that the tape had not been censored. Did you see the interview? Did you think it should have happened? What about the Iraqi conditions? And did anything in the interview surprise you or even change your mind? Join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now by phone is Robert Steele. He's the director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute of Journalism, and he's speaking to us from his office in St. Petersburg, Florida. Also joining us is J. Max Robbins, senior editor and columnist at TV Guide. He's on the phone from his office in New York City, and thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
Let's jump in with both of you, and perhaps we'll start with you, Mr. Robbins. What did you both think?
Well, I thought that Rather was in kind of a tough spot. Everything we know about the background of this interview was very difficult for him to get. In a kind of a second viewing of it, and I also looked at a transcript today, I came away wishing that Rather had been a lot tougher on Saddam. I don't think, as some may have suggested, some media critics have suggested, that he was somehow duped, but there were times where you wondered when he was questioning Saddam Hussein about 9/11 and his reaction to that, if I kept wanting him to push harder. I kept wanting him to address a lot of the charges that have been made against Hussein in terms of how he's been as a leader. And there was that one point where Saddam Hussein says, two elections. I got 99.5% of the vote, and the other 100% of the vote. I mean, there was part of Rather who that was like looking there at him like, what? But it demanded a tougher follow-up. I mean, come on. Nobody, this is not what goes on in a truly democratic country.
All right, let's get a take from Robert Steele. Go ahead, Mr. Steele. Robert Steele, are you there? It looks like Robert Steele is not there, so let's just continue. Did you hear any surprises, Mr. Robbins?
Well, I thought that there was that one moment where Saddam Hussein says, "Hey, I want to debate the president, and really let's go one on one and discuss the issues here." I mean, that was certainly a surprise. I didn't see that coming, but I did have this sense certainly that when somebody like Saddam Hussein, anyone in a position of power, puts all these conditions on an interview, he or she is looking for every advantage possible. I still don't think this was an interview that was going to really change anybody's mind one way or another, whether we should or shouldn't be going to war with.
And what about the conditions that CBS agreed to? Is that acceptable in order to get an interview? Do you think that that's...
Well, I think in a sense it is, because they weren't agreeing to put it on the air. It wasn't a live interview, and CBS still controlled their air. They still were the ones who would get those tapes, decide what they could use, what they wanted to use, if anything, and they still could. They had every right to edit it in and embellish and say, "Okay, at this point, Saddam Hussein said A. Well, here's the record. Really, what we found to be true is B." So, I think, is it ideal? No. Were there some great journalistic breach in acceptance of these conditions? I really don't think so. Every major news organization wanted this interview. Dan Rather got it. Nobody backed away and said, walked away from it because of the conditions that the Iraqi president was putting on an interview.
But why did every major network want this interview? Really for journalistic reasons or to boost their ratings because they get buzz?
I think it's a little both. I mean, I certainly, if you talk to anybody who's covering the internet, any journalist covering the internet, come on, Lynn, if you could sit down with Saddam Hussein, if you could have him on Talk of the Nation, wouldn't you have him on in a heartbeat?
Yeah, sure we would. Of course
okay.
we would.
So I think that, because this is somebody who's an extremely important figure right now, who hasn't been talking to the press, at least the American press. But yeah, they want ratings. This is a big get. People market this. This is marketed. CBS won the time period, not only in total viewers, but with viewers 18 to 49. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing. This is important. People want to be informed. To hear what the president of Iraq has to say is important. It's important for us to be informed as a people when there are so many important decisions we face.
I think if I can interrupt you a second, I think Robert Steele, who is the director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute of Journalism, is on the line with us now. Are you there, Mr. Steele?
I'm here, Lynn.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us. And I just want to turn to him now for a moment, Mr. Robbins, just so we can give him a chance to, I don't know if you've heard any of what we've been talking about, but I'd like to get your take as a specialist in journalism ethics on the conditions that CBS complied with in order to do this interview in the first place, and you know, we were just talking about why a network goes after this kind of interview. You know, is it really a journalistic, or is it to get the ratings?
Well, I think there was a substantive journalistic purpose in going after the interview, the opportunity to see and hear Saddam Hussein on these particular issues, whether it's talking about the missiles or revealing a bit of his psyche, is important during these times. Yeah, there's some tangential promotional value for CBS, but I think that Rather and Murphy and the CBS folks had a very legitimate journalistic purpose. They had to accept some restrictions. My understanding is those restrictions were on the production elements of what took place, not on the journalistic content. I don't believe that Rather was restricted in asking any kinds of questions. The taping was done by the Iraqis, and CBS, to my knowledge, was quite transparent in revealing what restrictions they had in terms of the production elements of what took place that day.
If you'd like to join our discussion about Dan Rather's interview with Saddam Hussein, which aired last night on CBS, the number here is 1-800-989-8255. And let's go to Gary in La Jolla, California. Hi, Gary.
Hi, I appreciate the opportunity to join this forum. You know, with Rick restrictions and ratings aside, I listened to the interview and watched the interview and just was waiting and wondering why at that historic moment Dan Rather didn't take the opportunity to ask the pointed questions that he's being accused of. For example, the treatment of his own people, the gassing of the Kurds, his despotic behavior. He recommended a satellite debate with George Bush. However, if you have a satellite dish in Iraq, you're subject to execution. So I'm just wondering why he didn't ask any of these hard-hitting questions.
All right, Mr. Steele, can you respond to that? Robert Steele?
Well, my impression is that Rather was focusing much more on the present than on the past in terms of the questions he was asking, questions primarily focusing on the issue of the missiles, on how Hussein saw the country in Iraq right now and their willingness to go to war, how he saw the negotiations with any degree they are negotiations with the arms control folks. I think those are all good questions, but the reality is Rather had to pick and choose, and he didn't happen to ask those particular questions. But I'm not sure he would have got anything more revealing in terms of those particular points.
Robert Steele is the director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute of Journalism. I'm also joined today by Max Robbins, the senior editor and columnist at TV Guide. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Mr. Steele, this kind of an interview is a tough one in that it's for a journalist in that you know you're going to get spin from someone like Saddam Hussein. It's going to be really hard to get him to really answer a question with great candor. How does a journalist penetrate that kind of a personality who has such a strong agenda of his own as a journalist approaches an interview like that? How would you
Well, there's no doubt that there's a propaganda involved in this kind of interview with Hussein agreeing to talk to Dan Rather. He got a platform to speak to a United States and to some degree a world audience. The reality is that journalists are always operating on one of those slippery slopes when it comes to talking with powerful people. It's true when we talk to the leaders of the U.S. government that President Bush, for all the right reasons, says what he wants, when he wants, about the issues he wants, when he has something to say to the public as well. Not in disparaging President Bush in doing that, but the reality is that political leaders are always trying to spin things in a way in which they want their particular message to get out.
Okay, let's take a call from Sean in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Sean.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, as a matter of fact, when I was watching the interview yesterday, there was one question that Dan Rather asked, and I would like you guys to comment on that question, which is, Dan Rather asked that Richard Cheney said the Iraqi people would receive the American army with music. What do you think if the Iraqi army go across the Atlantic Ocean to liberate the United States? Are the American people going to basically receive the Iraqi army with music? I would like to get your take on that, if you don't mind, please.
Well, I think that might have been an opportunity where Rather could have pushed harder to bring up some of the issues the previous caller talked about. But I do agree with Mr. Steele that there is... It's tough. It's tough for any journalist in that situation. You got to think really quick on your feet. Rather has said in interviews about getting the interview that at the point in their interview with Hussein, when he gets up and says he's going to go pray, they thought that was it. They were surprised when he came back and they had more time to talk. But there were times where you just there was an opportunity to get to some issues and to press Hussein harder. Mr. Steele may be right. He might have just continued to get stonewalled by Hussein.
It's also difficult working through translators. You don't have the spontaneity you would have if both the interviewer and the interviewee were operating on the same language base.
Okay, let's take one more call. Gene in Iowa City. No, let's take Al in Carefree, Arizona.
Well, hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Yes, this is, I think, an appropriate question for Mr. Steele. It's not so much in a question as an observation. It's somewhat more generic than the specific thing of what took place yesterday, but it certainly applies. It strikes me that there's a cultural difference in the world from one society to another insofar as how the truth or honesty is regarded, and that includes our particular culture as well. But it seems like the Arabic culture, I don't know, and I'd like your input on it, definitely has a different take on what it means to be honest or truthful and how long truth and honesty is meant to take place, if it's objective or subjective or whatever.
Well, I'm no expert on the Arabic culture, but I would suggest that if we roamed around the United States, we would find a number of different takes on what truth is. We could probably find that in our own kitchen sometimes. The role of journalists is to seek the truth, report it as fully as possible, recognizing truth as a small t. It's very elusive, and it probably has at least several S's on the end of it. But I think that's the best we could do in journalism. It's not unlike physicians trying to figure out what's wrong when you got belly pains. You search, and you probe, and you hypothesize, and you try to do the best you can.
Okay, one last question. The three main networks preempted their regular programming at 7 o'clock last night to carry President Bush's speech at a think tank here in Washington. What do you think went into that decision? Was it linked to the Rather interview? What do you think, Max Robbins?
I think it was linked to the Rather interview, and I also think they took some heat when there was a previous addresses of Bush's they didn't take. I think that at this point, too, there's a lot of, rules and big decisions going on with the FCC, and I think that the networks all want to curry favor right now. They don't want to fall out of favor with the White House.
What's your take on that decision, Robert Steele?
There may be a little bit of that in there. I think it, to some degree, had to do with the fairness equation, if they're putting a lot of weight on the Hussein interview to try and bring some fairness to the table. And I think that it also, anytime you have a new development in an ongoing story, it changes the equation. CBS gets the interview with Hussein. Hussein says some things, albeit not earth-shattering, but the equation changes. So Bush's speech last night to the American Enterprise Institute takes on different meaning, and ABC, and then CBS and then the other networks also make a new judgment as to whether you'll cover it, because it's different than it would have been 6 hours earlier.
All right. Well, thanks both of you for joining us. Robert Steele is the director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute of Journalism, and Max Robbins is the senior editor and columnist at TV Guide. Neil Conan will be back next week in Washington. I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.